Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into this segment of the Kelly Joe Show, brought to you by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, and it is a Dan Minden production. The Institute for Native Arts and Media is a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in the segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the INAM organization. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a very special segment because we're talking to one of the people who are going to guide us here at the Institute for Native Arts and Media into our Be Savvy program. This is Kristen Jarshaw. She's a medical student at the University of Oklahoma College of Medicine. So a fellow Sooner, welcome.
Boomer Sooner. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That always makes my day. So let's talk about period poverty. I know that that where you are at the College of Medicine, that y'all are extremely involved in women's health. So let's start there and let's talk a little bit about women's health and why it's so important to address period poverty.
Yeah, I think that's a really good place to start. And honestly, a big part of like really how I got involved in this, as you alluded to. So I've been involved in the American College of OBGYNs, which is a big professional organization for OBGYNs. We also call it ACOG. And they've actually had several pieces in their publications over the past few years talking about how this should be an area where physicians advocate because it has such a large impact on, you know, broader health. There are a few studies that have looked at the way that period poverty and not being able to access your regular menstrual products and other things you need to just live your daily life, how it really impacts your mental health and your ability to just be a normal functioning member of society. One piece in particular, I think the study was done in St. Louis. They had polled women who were going to mostly nonprofits associated with like lower socioeconomic status, you know, situations, kind of serving that population. And they found that a little over 50% of these women had experienced period poverty in the past year, and at least a quarter of them had suffered from both food insecurity and period poverty at the same time. And so I think people are a lot more familiar with food insecurity, you know, like not being able to have enough resources or money or access to give yourself good, nutritious food. And we know in medicine how important good food is, just to keep your brain going so you can learn in school or perform well at your job or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. And period poverty really seems to show up in a lot of the same ways as food insecurity does.
Let's talk about, when I started talking about this subject to different people around Indian country here in Southwest Oklahoma, when I say period poverty, I don't think it doesn't register into what it is. And especially here in Indian country, where we were brought up in sometimes very devout Christian homes, even the families that grew up in ceremony and grew up dancing and grew up in powwow, this is not something that we talk about. This is not something that natives talk about. You know, I always say I'm four generations off the plains, and that's not a lot. And so when you look at it that way and realize how these social justice issues completely impact American Indian women and American Indians who menstruate in a way that A, we can't talk about it. So B, we can't ask for what we need.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
As women, as people who menstruate, we all have those stories. We all have those stories of being caught off guard.
Yes.
We all have those stories of clothes being ruined. Because of that, we all have, and it has its own nickname with all of us. It's the dark passenger, as Dexter would say, you know. For some of us, very dark. And it struck me when you said, you know, as a functioning person, it's for those who don't know, for those who do, and for those who don't, you know exactly what we're talking about when we say sometimes you're not functioning. Sometimes it takes you places you just don't even realize that you're at.
Yeah. I always find it's a shame, like, it not only is this a normal experience for people who menstruate, but it's also something that happens monthly. And so it's not just, you know, once or twice a year, you know, like maybe you're someone who gets a cold once or twice a year and you just, you know, work through it and then it's fine. This is really monthly and really impacts your day to day to that extent. You know, you really can't get around it.
And, you know, I don't think that we really talk about the women's health issues that surround your cycle and the different things that are happening to your body, the different things that are happening to your hormones. Let's talk about some of those things that, because when I was younger, I had a lot of problems with it and it was so unpredictable. And I just, even to this day, I just have really horrible issues with it, like a lot of young women do. And when you can't talk about those things, you can't tell your folks what's wrong. And so as a physician, as an advocate for women's health, how do you tell young women, how do you teach them to ask for what they need?
Yeah. So I think one thing that really sticks out to me a lot in terms of everyone's relationship with their own menstrual cycle is understanding what is normal and abnormal. I think that's honestly a really big issue with, you know, that really comes to light because we don't talk about these. Like maybe even you'll feel comfortable maybe talking to your mom or an aunt, but if you have problems with your menstrual cycle, those tend to be familial. And so maybe your mom has like a very heavy cycle, and so you also have a very heavy cycle, but that just seems normal to y'all because you don't know like what it should look like, you know, in air quotes should look like, but what is normal and healthy. So you don't know when you should go and seek help because there are, you know, mostly hormonal medications, but medications you can be on to improve your flow, make it much less heavy, make it more bearable, improve your cramps, you know, a whole round of things that's out there that can really improve your quality of life. So I think those are kind of things. It is definitely difficult to go against cultural norms and talk about these things that we don't talk about. I think especially when you're young, you're kind of taught to fit a mold and, you know, you don't want to be kicked out of your support network, certainly for doing something that seems too risque. But definitely, like, that's why I'm going into the field of OB-GYN myself, is because I think it's so important that we talk about these things. And so even if maybe you don't have someone in your life you feel like you could talk to, there are definitely people in organizations who would love to help you. I know your doctor would certainly love to help you and at least like field any questions you have and point you to different resources. I think I'd like to say most physicians really want to do everything we can to help and support you to live a happy, healthy life. So
let's talk about period poverty as its own issue. Now that we, you know, I think sometimes, like you say, society, because it's such a part of it, and it's such an evil part of it, right? It's like, it's like your cycle's here, rare, you're a werewolf, you're mean and you're bitchy and all these kinds of things, mm-hmm. right? But at the very base of it, we still, as women and as people who menstruate, have to apologize for it. It's still that taboo of, ooh, well, can't do that kind of thing. So how do we as women, and especially as me as a Gen Xer, trying to relate to younger people, this younger generation, to provide that safe space to say, hey, you can come here and you can talk to us about these things because we understand?
Yeah, I really like that question. I really like the way that I can tell it's really important to you to build community and make sure people know that you're a positive and helpful resource. And I think I try to encourage people to, you know, like carry that mindset through with anything. And then hopefully when someone needs help for something more private, like they know that they've been able to trust you for other things. And so they're able to, you know, kind of step into that. I know one thing I try to do as well is whenever I'm struggling, maybe I'm having a really heavy flow, or, you know, I can just really tell that, I guess the term PMSing, like I can really tell that that's, you know, coming on, just kind of being honest with people. And so if I am, you know, with some friends, we're hanging out and I'm like, sorry, you guys, like I am a little bit more on edge today because my period's about to start. And then everyone else is like, oh God, like same, you know, like then it kind of like opens the conversation. So everyone can be like, oh, okay, you know, like we can't talk about this. Like we can't acknowledge that our bodies do things out of our control, but that doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just like another thing we have to navigate. I think one thing, now that I've kind of mentioned PMSing and kind of like going off on that topic on a medical side of things, so like the reason you have that experience is because at the start of your menstrual cycle, your hormone levels like really drop off, like your estrogen and progesterone drop, and that's what tells your uterus, okay, like time to bleed, time to get, you know, our lining out of here and menstruate. But because of that, that's, you know, also what triggers all of the emotional responses that are linked and associated with PMSing. But I think the good news of having awareness of that is that those sort of symptoms are only supposed to last for about 2 days. And so if you have noticed that you have symptoms that last a lot longer, I think that's a very good reason to follow up with your doctor and, you know, talk more about that. I know that's something that also helps me whenever I'm, you know, kind of down in the dumps, when, you know, things kind of hit me, I can say like, you know, just one more day of this, you know, I'll go eat some chocolate or something and it'll be okay. It's not, you know, something that's wrong with me. It's just a part of my body's process of what it's doing. So
I'm telling you what, is there anything chocolate can't cure? I feel sorry for people who are allergic to it, because as women, I worked for a doctor who kept there was a big giant drawer in our front desk, and it had all kinds of candy in it. Chocolate, just chocolate. Can I have a chocolate? Like cheap chocolate, yeah. Just chocolate. And I asked her, so why do you have that? She said, anytime that you feel, you know, just start to get that age, start to feel that, mm-hmm. Have yourself a piece of chocolate. And I'm telling you, the women in our office were as chill as women can be in your early 20s and dealing with all of that, you know. So that's that's really great advice for anybody who experiences that every month. And I like what you said about understanding what's normal. Because, you know, we don't, and we don't know how to say, I'm cramping so bad that I can't get out of bed, mm-hmm. and I'm doubled over. And, you know, especially when you are in a place where, you know, my grandma she was born in the Depression, and way closer to the plains than me. And that's not something that you teach. It's something that you figure out, right? I always feel sorry for people who just experience just the horrible cramps and the horrible symptoms, and they're just so exaggerated. I don't want to say exaggerated, because I know that they're not. I personally know how bad that can all get. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as a society, and especially we as women and people who either do currently menstruate or have at any point in their life. I think that we really, as talking about this, I think that I hope that this makes it easier for younger generations to be able to talk about this. And just talking about it, they can say, I can't use tampons. I need this kind of pad, or, you know, this is the kind of tampon I prefer, or this is the kind of body wash that I need to balance out my pH. We never talked about that kind of stuff. You know, in that it was just like, well, kind of figure out what you need and go buy that. And, you know, so it's, how do we start to, I guess the responsibility lies with us and being able to ask them what they need, or how do we go about that? How do we get started?
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So I like that you'd mentioned that, like, this isn't something that we usually teach. It's something that we're told to just figure out. And I think that's something that's important to me. As like, just because things have been done a certain way doesn't mean it's the right way. And so definitely making a big, more systemic, larger level change in how we talk about this topic and how we educate ourselves and each other. Even you're talking about your own experience growing up with your family. My parents are both pharmacists. So you'd think, you know, like, okay, they're in the medical field. They would have talked to me about menstruation more, but they really did not. And whenever I had my first period, I was glad that I had an older sister who I could go to. And she's the person who I, you know, relied on instead of having my parents, who should have, you know, should have been the ones. But overall, I think there are a number of different approaches. If you, for instance, have a community center, I think it would be a very good and accessible initiative to, like, pull the people who go to your community center and say, like, hey, we're thinking about putting products into bathrooms. What kind of products would people be interested in? Or, you know, we're going to have a drive. Like, are there any products that y'all like to use at home, or that you would like to use, but you haven't been able to find in our community? Maybe our stores don't carry them. I think a very interesting aspect of menstrual products is that they're not regulated in the same way as some other products are. So think about, I don't know, like cotton balls that you know, use for, you know, with alcohol, like swabbing, you know, kind of things like that. Mm-hmm. Menstrual products aren't really regulated in the same way. And so a lot of companies will use fragrances and dyes and things like that, that can be quite irritating. And so it is difficult, because also you may have a preference for a product, but it's really kind of like, I would just rather have something that's plain cotton to please not irritate me the way all these other products irritate me. And so it may not be something you could point to and say, here it is, here's this brand. I know there are quite a few small businesses that I've seen online who are starting up more open product initiatives, and, you know, are very forward with where they source the cotton from, and are very excited to not put all these additives and weird things in them. So I think there are improvements, and a lot of these improvements are being led by women, because, you know, we are recognizing the problem and we're trying to take steps to address them.
Well, and okay, so you bring up an interesting point, and I'm just going to say it. Because okay. There's no reason, I say that again, there is absolutely no reason why men need to be making any decisions regarding women's periods, their products, anything mm-hmm. else like that. Marketing, none of it. Like, none mm-hmm. of it. Like, we don't need your opinion over here. I don't need somebody to mansplain my period to me. It drives me crazy when it happens, because it does. And I guess I should be glad that somebody's like actually aware of it that much, because a lot of men don't want to even talk about it. they want to pretend like it don't even, it's not even there. And so we can't have that kind of lack of experience, shall we say, making the determination of these products. And you're absolutely right. Like I can't even walk by Bed Bath & Beyond because it just overwhelms me, let alone putting some of that stuff on my skin, because I can't even use dryer sheets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and just, I'm allergic to latex. Mm-hmm. And so I have all of these crazy issues that throw everything off. Mm-hmm. And it's been a problem. And so what I want to do, especially with our Be Savvy program with the Institute for Native Arts and Media that we're kicking off, this is one of the issues that we're going to start to address, is period poverty in Indian country. And I don't know, that's why I'm reaching out to these, to different professionals, because I don't know, number one, how to get started. And number two, if these products cause a reaction, like I want to be able to talk to people about, hey, sometimes these products don't work the same for everybody. Sometimes you might start to itch or develop a rash or whatever. You need to tell somebody and not use that. And, you know, because we don't talk about these things, and we'll just suffer in silence.
Yeah.
And not even realize that maybe something that we think is helping us isn't. Because I did not know that feminine hygiene products were not regulated like other products. I had no idea. And that right there explains so much.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I shouldn't be surprised. So
let's talk about how we go about, I don't even know how you can daintily approach this subject.
I can be blunt.
I know, right? Like, hey, I need to talk to you about my period. It's like, how about, well, your daughter has a period, your wife has, you know, really trying to understand, how do we as organizations, and especially we as individuals, as women, as people who've been there, how do we start to approach this very delicate subject, especially in a place where we don't talk about it?
Yeah. So I think there's a transition we're attempting to make to treat menstruation just like you would any other thing that's just normal. You know, like everyone goes to the bathroom. It's pretty normal when you go somewhere that there's going to be a bathroom with toilet paper and hand soap, you know, to take care of your basic needs that we all as humans have. It's not a surprise when someone says they need to pee or something, like, okay, great. That's normal. And so finding ways to treat menstruation the same way and being really confident. If someone like looks at you a weird way and they're like, oh, like, don't talk about that, like, that's a private thing, you know, kind of saying like, it's normal. Like, excuse me, it's normal. And there are normal ways to deal with this. And it shouldn't be something anyone's ashamed of. Your body does it. If you want to take it, you know, a positive way, your body does it because you have the capacity to have a child someday. Like that's incredible. Your body is able to create this system to create new life in the future. And unfortunately you gotta like bleed every month until you do that. But, you know, like there's really nothing to be embarrassed of when it comes to menstruating. And that is unfortunately an issue worldwide. There are a few really good documentaries that kind of talk about how universal this issue is across the world, and how people are just not educated, not told about it. And women and girls have to leave school when they start their period because they don't receive any support. And so I think when it comes to, you know, the day-to-day, making it known that you support people whenever they're going through these different experiences and whenever they need support. I think it's pretty normal, at least in my school education, you know, if we were on, I was in band. And so if we were on a band trip, you know, sometimes we'd all be in the women's bathroom and someone would be like, oh, like I need a tampon. And everyone, you know, like five go up in the air.
So
I think, yeah. So I think there are ways in which we've been supporting each other for a long time, but, you know, we've kind of done it, you know, behind closed doors, in secret or in quiet, because we've been told that this isn't something we need to talk to people about unless they're directly involved in the situation, to some extent. And so kind of finding the comfort within yourself to break that mold. And, you know, when you're with someone who is, you know, maybe acting different, you know, like reach out and say like, hey, I support you. What can you do as an organization to support people when they need resources? You know, I really think a big part of that is just listening and letting people know that you're starting initiatives like this one that you're doing, which I think is so incredible and can really make such a big dramatic impact for people.
Well, I really hope so. And I'm going to be depending on you and ringing your bell a lot because this is starting in January. We're starting our Be Savvy initiative. And this is, it's like I said, if we can't do these basic things right here in Indian country for our young people, we're completely missing a very crucial part of social justice. And it's crucial because it happens to half of the population. It's nothing that we can stop. It's nothing that we can help. Until that glorious day when your body's like, eh, I've had enough.
Yeah. And then you get hot flashes.
Oh, great. And going into the hot flashes and the perimenopausal and all that. So there's so much to look forward to, folks.
Yes.
But thank you.
After
so
menopause,
much.
Your hormones are more stable than any other humans, including men. So I guess that's a pro. See? At the end of it all.
Thank you so much. I knew there was a pot of gold at this rainbow. I just knew it. That didn't involve children. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this very important issue. And it's like I said, we're going to come back around and talk to you again, especially when we get our initiatives going, because we need all the help we can get. And we need to talk about these very serious things. And I'm so glad that folks at the University of Oklahoma College of Medicine are looking forward. And we are the best after all. So thank you so much, Chris and Jarshaw, over there. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you very soon. Thanks so much for tuning in to this segment of The Kelly Jo Show, produced by Talk Jive Radio. If you want more information about the Be Savvy program, or if you want to donate to help us supply feminine hygiene products to lower income families here in Indian country, you can email Native Arts and Media Institute at gmail.com. And you can catch past episodes of all our segments wherever you decide to get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support. We'll see you out there. Have a great day.